Okay, today we'll do Kuftet Zayin. We will finish up through, hopefully, the Mishnah on Kuftet Zayin Amud Aleph today. And then on, you won't have to learn the Daf on Shabbat. On Sunday, we'll pick up at Kuftet Zayin at the Mishnah. We'll do through Kuftet Chet, and then through part of Kuftet Chet. And then we'll finish up on Monday with the Siyum, which is a very short Daf. So we'll finish up Kuftet Chet on Monday. Okay, so we'll continue wherever we stop today. We'll continue from there on Sunday. Okay, we're in the middle of a machloket. Oh, you erased the board again. Always ask. We're in the middle of a machloket about Rav Yehuda and Rav Huna. Okay, Rav Huna said, if we have this machloket, lo tachbo rechayim varechev, you're not allowed to take the rechayim and the rechev of somebody else, the millstone, as collateral, because that's some basic need he has. Now, if you remember, the pasuk continued and it said, "Ki nefesh hu chovel," and there was a machloket about whether that adds on an extra lav. That means that you're going to get a double malkot on that. So, Rav Yehuna had said that you get chaval rechaim v'lo keshtayim, mishum rechaim u'mishum ki nefesh hu chovel. So, Rav Yehuna says you get double malkot. Okay, that's his shita. You get double because there's lo yachlo rechayim varechev and the additional kinefesh uchovel, which is the general. And then what did we say? Obviously, if you take the whole millstone, the millstone's made up of two parts. It has the top stone and the bottom stone. So if you take both parts, then you're actually going to get malkot three times because you've taken the rechayim, the rechev, and the... Today we'll talk about other types of utensils that were made up of two different parts where the same law would be true. That if you took both parts of them, you're going to be over double. Which is kind of strange because a millstone is it's not so functional with just one side. So anyway, but they that's how they learn it. That everyone agrees with. The question is, do you get an extra additional thing for kinefesh uchovel? Rav Yehuda says that you don't get an extra thing for kinefesh uchovel. And he claims that kinefesh uchovel is to include, to teach you that it's not just the millstone. The Torah gave that as an example, but any object the person needs for his basic needs in his house. Okay, today we'll see an example. Let's say of a knife. He needs a knife to cut his meat. If he needs basic items, then you're not allowed to take them, and that's what he says. Kinefesh uchovel is coming, and therefore you only get malkot. Right, you're going to either get one or two, depending on whether it's the rechaim and the rechev. But you're only going to get a single malkot. Basically, kinefesh uchovel is not a lo taseh that you're going to get malko for. Then we try to connect this with a machloket Rav and Abaye. We're in the middle of this. So Rav and Abaye have a machloket about the pasuk that you can't eat the meat for the korban pesach, na umevushal. You can't eat it raw and you can't eat it cooked in boiled in water. Ki im sli'esh. So we had the same ki, right? Ki im sli'esh, which we noticed in the pasuk also was really unnecessary because the pasuk before had said you have to eat it roasted, and then it said you can't eat it raw or cooked in water, boiled in water. But you must, right, because it must be tzli'esh. So they have a machloket there. Rava says you're going to be lokeh shalosh. If you ate a piece raw, a piece cooked, and a piece raw and a piece cooked, you're going to be over on shalosha. One because you ate raw, one because you ate cooked, and obviously if you only ate it raw, so then one, okay? And then an additional one because of kiim tzli'esh. And then Abaye said, no, ein lo kin alav shebiklalot. He calls this a general lav, which was, you can't eat tzli'esh, which included in that, you have to eat tzli'esh, included in that is you can't eat it raw and you can't eat it cooked. And therefore, he says you don't get malkot on that. You just get the basic malkot on eating it either cooked or raw or both. Okay. So now we say, Lema Abaye Damar Karav Yehuda V'Rava Amar Karav Huna. So why don't we assume that they match up here? So the first thing we said was that Rava said, Ana de Amre, okay, we'll start from there just to review the last six lines from the page. Amar Lecha Rava, Ana de Amre Afilu Karav Yehuda. I can say, even though in the Tzli'esh case we're going to hold by all three, okay, right, that you're going to get triple malkot or double, depending on which what you did. Ad kan lo ka'amar of Yehuda hatam ela ki nefesh yichovel lo mashma rechaim berechev hilkach l'shar dvarim hu da'ata. He says that ki nefesh yichovel doesn't sound like it's referring to the rechaim berechev, and therefore it must be coming not ki'im sli'esh is obviously referring to don't eat it raw and don't eat it cooked, but eat it sli'esh. But the loch bo rechaim berechev, and then it says, and don't take anything, right, ki nefesh yichovel, seems to talk about something different. You can't take something that refers to his basic needs. And therefore, it's not in addition to the rechaim berechev, and he would agree here that you don't get the additional malka. And now we're going to say, right, aval hachakim sli'esh lamai ata shmamina lalav. But there's no point of saying sli'esh if not to teach an additional lav. Abaye now is going to have a totally different approach. Abaye amar lecha, again, this isn't Abaye, this is the Gemara putting words in Abaye's mouth and saying, we're Abaye, right? We can't necessarily assume that Abaye links up with Rav Yehuda, because Abaye could claim like this. Ana de amre afilu l'Rav Huna, I can explain myself, even according to Rav Huna's Shita, that in Sli'esh you only get single malko, but in the case of Rechaim Berechav, you're going to get also for ki nefesh hu chovel. Why is that? Ad kan lo kama Rav Huna hatam, ela de ki nefesh yichovel yiterehu. Kevan de yiterehu, shadya arechayim barechev. The nefesh yichovel is an additional part. He actually says the same thing like Rava, it's additional. But because it's additional, what does he say? It must be coming to teach about the rechayim barechev, to say that you get an additional lav for it. But, aval hacha ki im sli'esh, lav yiterehu. But the ki'im sli'esh is not unnecessary. In other words, if it's unnecessary, then we're going to assume it's coming to add another set of malkot. But if it's not unnecessary, then we're going to say it's not adding on additional malkot. It's needed for that particular purpose. So what's the particular purpose sli'esh is needed for? Lav yeterehu, demibaye leilecha detanya, we need it to teach us, it's coming to, okay, let's put it like this, it's not coming to add a lav onto what already exists, like the rechaim v'rechav, where it's totally unnecessary, we're just going to say it means you get additional malko. It's coming to define the now levushal. Okay, now if it's defining it, then you can't say it's additionally. It's adding on malko. So what's it defining? Here's a braita that shows, here's his proof, or again, the Gemara is bringing proof for that Abaye doesn't necessarily have to say such a thing. You need it, l'chidetanya, b'sha'a she'yeshno b'kum echol tzli, yeshno b'bal tochal na. B'sha'a she'eino b'kum echol tzli, eino b'bal tochal na. The Korban Pesach has a very specific time for eating it. Now, if you were to eat it, the Korban Pesach meat, uncooked or boiled, not in the time where you're chayev to roast it, right, that night, then, basically, you're not going to be obligated. You're not going to get a lav. So if you did the exact same act, but you did it at a different time, right, when it's not the time frame where you're supposed to eat at sli'esh, then you're not going to get you should do it, but you're not over on the low test. Say you're not going to get malkot. And therefore, ki'im sli'esh, according to this explanation, is coming to define the isur of eating it raw or uncooked. What's the time frame? And therefore, it's not adding an additional lav. So therefore, we've concluded that you can't necessarily say these two machlokot are connected. Okay, Tanya Kabate de Rav Yehuda. Now we're going to have a braita that proves Rav Yehuda's shita, which is that you don't get double malkot. Chaval zug shel saparim v'tzemed shel parot chayav shtayim. Ze ba'atzmo v'ze ba'atzmo eino chayav elecha. Okay, there are scissors, the same way our scissors, but we don't really view them that way, are really made up of two different pieces of metal, right? Two blades. So they would put these two blades together, and they're viewed as two, it's called a zug misparayim, a pair. And therefore, if you take someone's zug shel saparim, their hair cutter's scissors, you're going to be chayev shtayim, one for one piece and one for the other piece. And likewise for tzemet shel parot, this is the yoke that they would use to connect the cows that would pull the wagons, or for the machresha, for the plowshare. So again, it was a piece that was made up of two different parts. So if you take that from somebody, you're chayv shtayim, zebat, right? But if you took zebatzmo, you took only half of it, right, as your collateral, then lo yehe chayav elechat. Okay, you'll only be chayav once. How do we know? So it started out like this. Sorry, I think I skipped something. Oh, right, okay. Eino chayav elechat. Okay. Vitanya idach. Now, so far we haven't really said anything yet, although you can figure out where the jump's going to be probably, but we'll see it right now. Another brayta says about this, Chaval zug shel saparim v'semet shel parot, yachol lo yehe chayav el echat. You might have thought, now this is a midrash halacha type, where we're going to say, you might have thought something, comes the pasuk to teach us otherwise. You might have thought you're only chayav one, because altogether it's really one kli. Tamud lomar, lo yachvol rechayim varechev. That's why the pasuk specifically said rechayim varechev. Why? Ma rechayim varechev shehem yuchadin. What's unique about rechayim varechev? If you think about why they choose to offer a millstone and not anything else. So this midrash halacha has an answer to that. It says, what's unique about rechayim varechev? Shehem yuchadim shnei kelim va'osim alacha achat. They're two different objects, vessels, that do work together. And what do you know? What do we learn about them? V'chayav al zeh b'fnei atzmo, v'al zeh b'fnei atzmo. So af kol dvarim shehem shnei kelim miyuchadim v'osim alacha achat. Likewise, anything else that's two kelim, like the tzemet shel parot and the zug shel saparim. So therefore, all those things, chayav al zeh b'fnei atzmo, v'al zeh b'fnei atzmo. But notice what it doesn't say here. It says, you're chayav on each one, but it doesn't say you're chayav an additional one because ki nefesh hu chovel. So therefore, we learn, this is a brayta that supports Rabbi Yehuda, that you only get the single malkot. Again, it's confusing to say single because it could be double if you're using both parts of it, if you take both parts of it. But either which way, right, the point is you're not chayav on ki nefesh hu chovel. Now we get a story. Ha'u gavra dechaval sakina de'esh kavta mechavre. He steals a sakin, the shechting knife, okay? Steals a shechting knife of a person. Sorry, he doesn't steal. I said it wrong. He grabs, right, as collateral, okay? The guy owes him money. The guy doesn't pay him, right, which is all our cases that we're talking about. And he goes and he takes his shechting knife, okay? Which obviously, right, is a problem. Ata lekameh de'abaye. So he goes before Abaye. Amar le zila hadre. Dehavi lekli shosim bo'ochal nefesh. This is a kli that the guy needs for ochal nefesh. So therefore, right, give it back to him, vita kum bedina ala, and go to court. If you want to get your money back, go to court. Okay, now we're going to see a whole different element. Until now, we've been very much focused on, can you take the collateral, can you not, can you seize it, can't you, depending on what it is. Okay.
Why don't they always say that? Go to court.
Now we're going to look at a different, so it's true, right, you should always go to court. The assumption is the guy at least tried to get the money from him, he didn't, right, he took the law a little bit into his own hands. But now we're going to see a whole different element, which is, now we're going to look from a totally different perspective at a different aspect. Rava Amar, lo tzarich lemekam bedina ala, v'yachol on ad kedei demehem. Since this guy already grabbed the knife that belonged to the guy, and he has it in his hands, right? So what does Abaye say to him? You have to return the knife, and then go to court and try to get your money back. So comes Rav, and he says, very smart. He says, wait a minute. You don't even need to go to court. Yes, return the knife, but you can claim at least the amount that the knife is worth. Okay? Why is this? This is what we call amigo. What's amigo? Amigo is, if you could have had a better claim, then you should have used that claim, and because you didn't use the better claim, we believe you with this. What was his better claim? If the knife is in his hands, what can he claim? I bought it. Right? Generally, there's no aiding or star if you buy a knife, right? The fact is, the knife is in his hands right now. If he wanted, he could claim...
With that money that...
No, he could just claim, this is mine. It's in my possession. I bought it. The fact that he said, I took this as collateral, meaning he's intending to give it back to the guy and the guy's going to give him the money, shows that since he had a better claim, which is I own it, right? Therefore, he should at least get back, let's say, right, the knife is worth 70, let's say the knife is worth 75 and the loan was 100. So Rava says, listen, you're already struggling, you're not going to get your money back, okay? But at least, right, without even going to court, you can get 75. In other words, the point is maybe you need the court to tell you that, but you don't need to prove anything in court. You don't need to bring any proof that there was a loan, that he owes you. Whatever, you can right now claim 75 back because you have the knife to show for it. And you could have made a better claim what can he say? What else would I be doing with this knife if I didn't either buy it or it was collateral for the loan? So So what happens? Abaye leitle ahisvara. So now they're going to say, and Abaye doesn't agree with this logic, and says, why did Abaye say you have to go to court? Don't you think Abaye would say he at least gets back the money of what it's worth? Maishna mehanu ize da'achle chushla bin hardea. How is it different from this case? What was the case? There were these goats that ate, what's the chushla? Orim klufim. Okay, well, that's what Rashi says. They were peeled barley in Nahardea. Okay, they went in and ate someone's stuff. And what did the owner of the barley do? He grabbed, right, this is classic, you go out into your field, you see some goats eating your stuff, what do? You grab the goat and say, well, I'll give you back the goat when you pay me back for the damage he did. So what happened? V'katayin tuva, and he claimed that the goat ate more than the value of the goat, than the goat was actually worth. He says, you ate so, the goat ate so many sorim that's even worth more than what the goat itself is worth. V'amar avua de Shmuel, yachol on ad kedei de mehem. And the father of Shmuel said, he can claim up to the amount of the value of the izim, because again, he's holding the izim in his hands, and migo, that he could have said that the izim were mine and I bought them. Therefore, he gets up to the value of the izim. He doesn't get any more than that, because again, the assumption is he can't prove it. He doesn't have proof. So what's the difference here? So hatam, so now we have to compare the izim and the knife. So Abaye, now remember, Rava says it's all the same, right? Both are the same that you can get out kedei demam. Abaye says you got to go to court and prove that there was a loan. So why didn't Abaye say the same thing as the izim? He at least gets up to the value of the knife, let's say 75 in our example. So hatam, now there's an additional aspect here. What did we say? The option is he can say, I bought it, right? And it, since there are only two options, either he bought it, right? What else is it doing in his property? But now we're going to say, no, there's obviously an additional third option, which you didn't think about, right? Either he bought it, or it's collateral, or, see in a second, hatam lav midi da'avda l'ushle ula ugre. Who? Okay, now, the izim are not something that people generally lend out or rent out. But hacha midi da'avelo shuleolo gurehu. But the knife is something that people generally would rent or lend. And therefore, being in your hands doesn't necessarily mean that you own it. Being in your hands means it very likely you rented it, you borrowed it. Okay? So hacha, okay, but this is, right, this is something that is. Deshalach rapuna bar avim, dvarim ha'asuyin lahash'il ulahaskir, va'amar lukuchin hem biadi. And here we have support from Rav Huna Bar Avin, who says anything that people generally rent out or lend out, and people then come and claim, I purchased this, and doesn't have proof of purchase, he is not believed, because it's very likely that it was rented out. So now they say, what about Rava now? We have to go back to Rava, because Rava said that he can be believed with this migo. He doesn't need to go to court, even with the knife. The Rava lately who high svara, Bahai Rava Afig Zuga de Sarbala, the Safra de Agtata, Miyatme. Rava, okay, we have to explain the case and what the issue with Yotomim is. Yotomim, there's an assumption that if Yotomim, people come to court and try to claim something from an orphan about his father's property, since the orphan doesn't know to make a claim for himself, and he also doesn't know what the real facts of the case were, because his father didn't tell him before he died. So the court can claim, it's called ta'anina. The court can make a claim for him. Whatever the father could have potentially claimed, the court can make that claim. So here there was a case of someone who, the Yotomim had this in their possession, this zugat de sarbala, which were these scissors that people used to cut the threads off of a wool garment, or sifrei agadita, okay, learning, books of learning. So what happened? The Yotomim had them in their possession, and the guy said, hey, you know, these are mine. And, right, I'm trying to remember whether he says they're mine because, right. So if you look in Rashi, Rashi says, hey, viu ba'alim edim shayu shelahen. Okay, the owners brought witnesses that they had, that at some point they owned them. Now, just because you bring witnesses at some point you own them doesn't mean you own them today, right? Things get sold and bought all the time. So that's not enough of a proof. But what did the Yotomim claim, or the court claim for them? right? Hishilun, I'm sorry. The Baalim came and said, these are mine, and I lent them to your father, right? And so what does the halacha say? According to, right, what did Rabbah say? You can take them out of the hands of the Atomim. Okay, so what do we say? B'dvarim asuyin lahashilu lahaskir, right? So Rabbah took out these dvarim because he said they were dvarim shasuyin lahashilu lahaskir. So you see that Rabbah agreed that if they're items that generally get rented, you can assume that they were rented out. So basically, the Atonement tried to keep rights to them, but they had no good claim. They couldn't say they're in our property because obviously our father bought them, because it's not obvious the father bought them. In other words, the court in theory could have said, clearly, if they're in your hands, your father could have bought them. But no, you can't say that because it's very likely the father borrowed them. Okay, so we're stuck with Rava. Why with this knife did he say that's enough of proof, the fact that the knife is in your hands? So obviously, what's he going to have to say? This is not an item that people generally lend out, okay? Amar lecha Rava, Rava would claim what? Haniname kevan deme pagma kapde inish velo moshle. Moshle is right, they don't lend it out. So what are we going to say here? Because it's a very specialized item, and if people use it, it might get ruined, and therefore they're not willing, right? People don't generally like lending out their car, and kids get into an accident, they'll be stuck, right? There's certain items that people don't generally lend out, and he would put this knife in that category, and therefore he would say so. Okay, so again, Abai obviously would say not. It is something. So there's a machloka between them about whether it's an item that would get lent out or not. Okay, Hadron Alach HaMakabel. We're now moving into Habayab Aliyah, which is going to be our lead into Bava Batra. Okay, 10th Perek. Okay, this is basically going to discuss, if you ever went to Katsrin, their houses were built on two levels, okay, the bottom and the top. Okay, often we're going to see, this is discussing a case where somebody rents out, almost all the cases we're going to see today, somebody rents out the top part, and as they own the bottom, they rent out the top floor. How did the renter get to his house? He wouldn't go through the first floor through a staircase like we would go up to, right? There was a ladder outside that would lead up to his window or to some, you know, entranceway, and he would get into his house through the ladder. Okay. Mishnah starts like this. Habayi ba'aliyah shel shnehem shenaflu, shnehem chokim be'etzim u'ba'avanim u'ba'afar. Okay. You have, the bayit crashes. It falls apart, breaks somehow. Okay. But obviously, you want to take the parts, right? The etzim, the avanim, the afar. Everything that fell, basically. Okay. Although the etzim doesn't mean trees. It means the wood, right? The wood that the house was built with, the stones and the dirt. What do? We don't know who, right? The house crashes. You don't know which parts belong to which, the top floor, the bottom floor. So what do we say? We split them, okay? This is actually, we're going to get to rental cases. This is a case where, right, Rashi actually says it's either two brothers are sharing a house or two people, whatever. They each have their own space, and the house falls. And so they split all the stuff. Viroim elu avanim asuyot lihishtaber. But then we see how did the house fall? Did it fall? We're going to see this in the Gemara. Did it fall because something hit the wall and the walls crashed down? Or did it fall because something was problematic from the foundation and did it fall from top down? Or did it fall from bottom up? So we see, based on how it fell, which are the ones that were more likely to have broken, right? If it comes crashing down from the top, right, then the top ones, right, right. If it comes crashing from the bottom ones are more likely to be broken. If it comes crashing from the top, right, think about it. The top ones obviously have more, as they fall in the air, they're going to crash with more impact, and therefore they're going to be more broken. Okay, so then we're going to split, because now you can assume that when it crashed, some of the pieces, right, you split them 50-50, but some are broken, some are less broken. Some might even be whole. So we try to evaluate, depending on how it broke, which ones belong to who. Im haya achad mehem makir miktzat avanav, notzlan ve'ololo min hachashbon. If somebody can recognize and say, hey, that tile was mine, right? I had those tiles in my bathroom or in my kitchen. And, you know, I know that that's mine. Okay, it's a little different than I'm describing, really, because these tiles weren't majorly different from each other. But if they recognize and it was clear that it was his, so he takes it, and olo'o min ha'cheshbon. What exactly this means, we're going to see in the Gemara, but the pshat, right, or at least the literal translation is, and it's... it comes at the expense of the other ones that he's owed. So we'll see what this means. Okay. Mi dekatani ro'in, when it says ro'in elu avanim asuyot lishtaber, michlal di'ika lamei kamalayu, ibachav sanafil, ibachav tanafil. So it sounds like the problem with this Mishnah, I explained it sort of, but I didn't explain it. There's a lot of problems with this Mishnah. It doesn't make sense. The first line, we said we split 50-50. The second line said, well, it depends how it broke, right? Did it fall bottom up, top down? How did it break? In which case, which ones belong to who? So when it says ro'in, it seems to imply that we can figure out or did it break from the bottom, you know, that the foundation was kind of, you know, shaky, like, right, what was that building? I just forgot the name. And the famous building, the Ulam Versailles that crashed, you know, and the whole foundations were messed up in the middle of the wedding. Years ago, there was this, right, was it in Eilat?
It was Yosef in
Jerusalem. Right, it was in Jerusalem. It was, yeah, and the columns just crashed. Okay, so right. Is it like that? Or is it that something hit, a tree fell, knocked the top, right, and then knocked the rest down? If that's the case, Ihachi Reisha my chokim. So then why do we say in the Reisha that we split it 50-50? Nech se ibachav tanafil, aliyata itbor. Ibachavas tanafil, tatiyata itbor, right? Shouldn't we just figure out, the Reisha doesn't make sense to say chokim 50-50, because really we should see, right, which are the broken ones and which are, right, if it was hit from the top, then the top ones are going to be the broken ones. And if it was hit from the bottom, then the bottom ones are broken. So what do they say? Lotzricha, the Reish is talking about, they're going to say they're two different cases. The second case is where we can figure out how we can determine how it broke. But the other case is Dinafil Belelya, right? In other words, it fell at night, and therefore we have no way of knowing, was it because a tree hit it, or was it because of the foundation? So then I said, what do you mean you don't know? But Lechzina with Safra, right? We can go... What can we do? We can go to the site of the wreckage and try to figure out based on where the tiles fell, and you can kind of figure out even in the morning, even if it happened at night. So what did they say? Dipaninu. So they, what happened? It was already by the morning, people had removed the rubble, or and they obviously didn't remove it because we're splitting it, but they moved it to the side. So then they say, well, v'lechze mam paninu, v'lishaylihu. Why don't we just go find the people who move the stuff to the side, and we'll ask them, and then they can just tell us. Dipaninu b'nei reshut harabim ba'azlu la'alma. Okay, how exactly this happened, I don't really know. Somehow, in the middle of the night, people were walking by. You know, you can imagine at least why they would have done it, though, because it's very likely the stuff fell into the middle of the street, and they had to move it to the side. And by the time the people got up and went about and went to see, it was already gone, and they don't even know who did it. The lechze b'reshut diman yatvan. Why don't you say, well, let's see where the stuff fell. Was it in the property? Okay, let's imagine. It's a little hard to imagine, but let's say there's the bayit and the aliyah, right? So the bottom, the top. And then there's maybe one guy owns the front yard and one guy owns the backyard. So if it fell on the front yard, you know, the backyard side or the front yard side, well, then whoever owns that chatzir is already... It's in his possession, in which case, the other side will have to prove it. And if you can't prove it, well, then you can't get your parts. So why do we say cholkin? Shouldn't this be a case of hamotzi mechaver alav haraya? So obviously they're going to say, lo tzricha diyatven b'chatzir ditravayu. No, it was a case where it all fell into the chatzir of both of them. Or where else could it have fallen? Inami b'rushit arabim. Or it's not in anyone's possession because it fell into public property. V'ibayit ema, or you could say a different answer to this question, why we don't say amatzim echaver ala paraya, assuming that this is a case of shutafim who own the house jointly, and, you know, one takes the top and one takes the bottom, shutim b'hikichayagavna lo kapte adade. They're not so makpid zel zeh, if they're two brothers or they're two partners, to say, oh, well, this is mine and that's mine, and it fell on my side, so I get it, and it fell on my side, I get it. And that's why.
Okay. The examples where siblings don't agree quite that clearly.
And that's true, right? Siblings don't always get along that well, but okay. Im haya achad mehem makir. Now we get to the part about him knowing which ones are his. V'hala matoin. So what does the other guy claim? Idikamar in. If the other guy says, yeah, you're right, those are yours, well then pshita, you don't even need to tell us that. V'i lo amar in. Lama no tail. And if he doesn't say, I agree with you, well then how can the other guy take his pieces? Ela da amrle eni yodea. Okay, it's a case where one says, I know these are mine. The other guy says, I don't know. And that's Bari Vashema, we've said many times, right? Bari Adif. If one guy has a definite claim, the other guy has a questionable claim, right? He doesn't know. So we allow the guy who has the definitive claim. So if that's the case, Lema Tavit Yuvta de Rav Nachman. Da'amar Rav Nachman, De'itmar, Mana Li Biyad Chavalaomer Eini Yodea. Okay, we've done this before. One guy claims you owe me money, and the other guy says, I don't know. Rav Huna Rav Yehuda Amre Chayav. So Rav Huna and Rav Yehuda say he has to pay them back. Rav Nachman, the Rabbi Yochanan Amre Patur. But they say, right, that it's Patur. So let's suggest that this is a contradiction to Rav Nachman, because Rav Nachman says, if you know, if someone says you owe me money and you say, I don't know, you're Patur. You don't have to pay. So what do we answer? Ano, if you remember there, what was the case? Kedamar Rav Nachman. We had a whole question with Rav Nachman and Rabbi Yochanan. If you remember, we've been talking about that. Why don't they question Rabbi Yochanan? And that's because he's from Eretz Yisrael, and they were talking about their own Amoraim. But anyway, what does Rav Nachman answer? Kigon sheyesh esek shvua b'neim. Hachanami sheyesh esek shvua b'neim. It's a case where he's supposed to take a shvua to allow himself to be patur, but he can't take the shvua, and because of that, he's patur. But only in a case where he's supposed to take a shvua. Now, what's this case? Hechi dami esek shvua, if you remember this, kidurava, damarava, mana li biyadcha, vahala omer, ein lecha biyadi elachamishim, v'hashar eini yodea, mitoch sheino yechol lishava, yishalem. All right, I said this wrong. Sorry. Rav Nachman, Rabbi Yochanan say, in general, you're patur. In a case where there's esek shvua, then you're going to be chayav. What's that case? If someone says, you owe me money, and you say, I don't know anything about it, so you don't have to pay, according to Rav Nachman. But if someone says, I owe you money, and you say, you're right, I owe you 50, but I don't owe you the whole 100 that you claim I owe you, then that's a classic case of modeh b'miktzat, and you'd have to take a shvua. What if, right, that's modeh b'miktzat, you take a shvua, but what if he says, I don't owe you 50. I'm sorry. I know I owe you 50. That's modeh b'miktzat, which case you'd have to take a shvua. But on the other part, you say, but I don't know anything about the other 50. Now, in that case, what's the situation? You can't take a shvua, right? Because you don't know. You can't swear, I don't know, right? You can't swear, I know I don't owe you because you don't know. You can't swear about something you don't know. So in that case, you're going to have to pay. So that's how... That's how Rav Nachman is going to explain our case. That he's modeh b'miktzat, basically, and the other part he says eini yodea, and that's why he's going to have to give it to the other guy.
What's the miktzat in this case? One guy says, these are my stones, the other
And he says, some of these are your stones, and the other ones I don't know. And that's where, in theory, he's supposed to take a shvua, and he can't, and therefore he has to give them up to the other guy. Okay? Ve'olot lo min ha'cheshbon. So now we're going to have, it's a little confusing what this means, alot lo min ha'cheshbon, right? So if you recognize some of your avanim, so you take them, right? That's in the case where the other guy doesn't know, and we have to assume, at least according to Rav Nachman, that there was an esek shvua b'neim, that he agreed with some but not the others. And alot lo min ha'cheshbon. So sava rava lemeimar, lefi cheshbon shvurot. Okay, what does that mean? That according to, right, notel shvurot kenegdan. So let's say there's 100 pieces. So if the guy takes some of the whole ones, so that's going to come off, right? He's not, the other guy's going to get kineged all the broken ones. Okay, so now they're going to say, so basically, let's say there's 50 broken ones and 50 whole ones, and you claim that all 50 broken ones or all 50 whole ones are yours. So now I get all the broken ones. So they're going to say, right, Alma kevanda amar eini yodea riatfei. I'm going to be messed up now because I don't know. Just because I don't recognize my bricks, I'm going to lose all, you know, all. I'm going to get only broken ones. So amar le abaye adraba. It's really the opposite, Abaye says. Ha riatfei midahane yada tfei lo yada. One second, how to read this. Ha riatfei midahane. That's, the other guy is worse off. The guy who says, I know these are mine, he loses out. One second. I forget exactly how this works. He loses out because he says... Midahana yada tfei lo yada. Right. So here's how you read it. Midahana yada tfei lo yada. From the fact that he knows about these and he doesn't know about the rest of them, so too lately, v'idach kulu dehechninu. If I come along and say, I know these are mine, And I don't say anything about the rest of them. Well, if I know these are mine and I knew those, then obviously I know how to recognize my stuff. And if I don't recognize anything else, well, then obviously none of it belongs to me. So in other words, a bias thing is the opposite. It's they're your don't know min hashbon, and he doesn't even get 50%. He gets just the ones he claims and not any more. So then they say, they're obviously going to question this, right? And then he says, what he's saying is that it, according to your logic, that doesn't make any sense because I could claim that counter logic. So what does Abaye say? Ela amar Abaye lefi cheshbon shleimot. Okay, so he says, what does it mean? He gets, let's say, like I said, there's 50 shleimim, and there's 50 broken ones, so everyone's going to get 25 of each. That's for sure. It's just a matter of, if you claim these are definitely yours, so you get those, and then I get the rest of the, right? So you'll get, let's say, 25 whole ones. And I'll get 25 whole ones. But if you claim all 50 whole ones are yours, you're not going to get all 50 whole ones. We split the... Right, so then you'll get another 15. In other words, they'll come... Yeah, they'll come from your amount that you were supposed to get in the first place. We're not going to change the divvying up that we were going to do anyway. 25, 25, 25, 25. Okay, 25 broken, 25 whole. Everyone's going to get 25 broken and 25 whole. It's just that we're going to... We don't want to cause any harm to one. We don't want to cause any harm to the other. So basically, that's how we're going to do it. That's the Gemara's question. Yachi, my kamahani le. So what does it help him that he said these are mine? Lemil ben aravcha inami tinam dema'avda. It's either that they were a particular shape that he liked. There was a certain shape that was a little wider than the others, or maybe it was a better craftsmanship of the tile, you know, of the brick. Okay, so that could be why. Mishnah. Habayit v'aliyah, nifcheta ha'aliyah. Now we're going to talk about the case of the person who rents. Okay, one guy lives downstairs and he rents out the upstairs. So who's responsible for what? Habayit v'aliyah, nifcheta ha'aliyah, ein v'alabayit rotze l'taken. Okay, let's say the aliyah gets broken, okay, somehow it falls apart, and the balabayit doesn't want to fix it. Hare balaliyah yore v'dar lamata. Okay, so what happens? He comes down and says, you rented me your upstairs. Now the upstairs is not livable. So I come downstairs and live with you. Or I live downstairs. It's not clear. Do I live with you or not with you? Do you have to move out? Okay. Ad shitaken lo et aliyah. If you rented me the space, I deserve the space. Rabbi Yossi omer, hatachton noten et hatikcha v'halyon et hamaziva. Now these were, okay, if the assumption is that somehow the floor of the upstairs got all messed up. So the question is, according to Rabbi Yossi, it depends what was wrong with it. So one gives the tachton guy has to give the basic roof, okay, the ceiling, his ceiling, which is the floor of the upstairs guy. But the elyon has to do the tar that they would put to make it all stick together. Nipchita bekama. So now we want to know how much of the floor needs to be messed up for the upstairs guy to say, I'm moving in downstairs. So Rav Amar Biruba, Ushmuel Amar Ba'arba'a. Rav says it has to be that the majority of the floor is messed up. And Shmuel says as long as it's 4x4 tefachim, which is not a big amount, one little space, which means that you no longer have space to put some of your kelim, some of your furniture, some of your stuff. So Rav Amar Biruba, Aval Ba'arba'a, lo. Why? Because Adam Dar Chetzio Lamata VeChetzio Lamala. What's the issue? If you don't have space for your furniture, so what do? You put your cleat, you know, you need to store some of your bowls. So you put your bowls downstairs and zoo. Okay? So now he says, so if it's just arba'a, lo, because why? Adam dar chetilamada chetilamala. So you go up and down the stairs. Okay, it's a bit of a big, bit of a headache. Every time you need your bowl, you got to go downstairs to the owner. What's the big deal? Do it. But Shmuel amar ba'arba'a, because ain't adam dar, chetzolamata b'chetzolamala. If I rented out the upstairs, I want to be comfortable when I'm upstairs. I don't have to start schlepping downstairs all the time to get my stuff. Hey, chidami, what exactly is this case, though? Ida amar, now it all depends on, we've seen this before, on the agreement they made in the first place. Ida amar aliyazo, if I rent this attic, and then this attic falls apart, right? Azda, then, okay, well, the house fell apart, and the aliyah fell apart, and the owner doesn't owe me anything, because I wanted specifically this aliyah, and this aliyah doesn't exist right now. Ela da'amar le'aliyah stam, logar le'achrite. If I said I just want to rent an upstairs, well, then you have to rent me a different space that's suitable. So neither of these cases would the guy go downstairs and live with in the downstairs. So Amar Rabba lo tzricha da amarle aliyah zeh shani maskir lecha ki sal kasalik behada v'chinachik chut behada. Okay. So now Rabba says it must be a case where the guy made an arrangement from the beginning and he said, listen, I'm renting you this aliyah. And if it goes up and it's great, then great, you go up with it. And if it goes down, meaning it crashes, then you go down with it and you'll come live with me. Well, the obvious question is going to be, well, ihachi mai lameimra, then what's the point of this Mishnah? If it was so detailed in the contract that this was the arrangement, you don't need a Mishnah to tell you that. So, Ela Amar Ravashi, Ravashi has a different explanation of this Mishnah. De Amar le aliyah zo sha'al gabei bayit zeh ani maskir lecha. De ha shiabed bayit l'aliyah. It must be that he said, I want this, right? I want this aliyah that's on top of this house, which means that the house was mishuabad. It was subjugated. It was sort of, what's the word? What?
Delegated or pledges.
Okay, it was basically, right, it was pledged to the attic, okay? And therefore, in a case where something happens, he gets rights to that house also. V'chihad amar le Ravin, it's just like Ravin bar Rav Ada said in the name of Rabbi Yitzchak, ma'aseh be'achad sha'amar l'chavero, dalit sha'al gabe parseg zeh, ani mocher l'cha, I'm selling you this vine that's on this peach tree, okay? So now the vine, right, a vine doesn't droop on the ground, it won't work. It has to be draped over something. So I'm giving you this vine that's on this tree. Ani mocher lecha, I'm selling you. V'ne'ekar ha'parsek, and the ha'parsek tree got uprooted. Ubama ase lefnei Rabbi Chiya v'amar, chayav ata lamid lo parsek, kolzman shadalet kayemet. Okay, as long as the geffen is still there, you have to give him a new tree because you basically committed the tree to the vine in your agreement. So it's just like this here. Even though obviously the cases are very different, it's a whole different situation, but we won't get into that. But the concept is the same. By Rabbi Abba Bar Mama, kishuhu dar levado, kishuhu dar, when he now goes down into the downstairs, levado hudar kirdame ikara. Does he live, right? What's the story? I rented a place. I didn't rent a place to share it with you. I rented a place to have my own room. Now that I have to move downstairs, do I get the downstairs all to myself, just like my agreement from the beginning? I was going to live by myself. O dilma shnehen darim. Or do we say that they both live there together? And why would the logic be there? Da amrle, the owner can say, adata lafkina lo agre laf. I never rented it to you thinking that if I got stuck, you were going to kick me out of my house. What kind of craziness? And now we're basically going to have a whole slew of questions with no answers. It's going to be one of those. Im timtze lomar shnehem darimbo. If you say they both live together downstairs. So kishu mishtamesh, derech ptachim mishtamesh, o derech gagim mishtamesh. How does he get into the house now? Does he go in through the downstairs, just like the owner goes? Or does he have to climb up the ladder and then climb down through the roof into his space? Now, why? What would be the logic? Mi amar kimidi ikara, mami ikara derech gagim, hashtanami derech gagim. Do we say, look, you have to do it like you did, right? When the agreement was that you're going to get into your house through the ladder. So now also you have to. O dilma matze amar le, aliyah kabili halai, aliyah v'irida lo kabili halai. No, the guy can say, listen, I was willing to walk up to get to my house, but I wasn't willing to walk up in order to walk down. Im timtze lomar matze, and if you actually can tell him that, sorry, but you have to walk up the ladder and back down the ladder. Matze amarle aliyah v'yirida lo kabili alai. I'm sorry. Imtim tzilomar. I just lost my place. Imtim tzilomar matze amarle aliyah v'yirida. Sorry. Matze amarle aliyah v'yirida lo kabili alai. What if there were shtei aliyot zo al gavzo? What if you had a three-story house? Which I don't know that they really necessarily had in those days. Certainly in Katsrin, in the time of the Mishnah, it was all two-story houses. Maybe in Bavel they had three-story houses, which would be interesting, right? The fact they're asking this question maybe presumes that in Bavel they did have bigger houses. So now, right, there's three guys, okay? So Mao, Ifchut Elyona, Nachit Bidar B'Tachtona, right? So obviously the Elyon guy is going to move down a level, but Ifchit Tachtona, Mao L'Mislak L'Gamri B'Elyona, right? Right. So if the middle guy, right, the guy in the first attic, does he have to go up to the Elyon, right? Mi amrinan de amrle sham shem aliyah kabilit alaf. He says, look, you were willing to live in the attic. What's the difference, whether it's the first attic or the second attic? So now, you know, you're stuck the second floor, there's some problems, so go up to the third floor. Okay, or do we say, look, he accepted upon himself to go up one floor, but he didn't accept himself to go up two flights, and therefore he gets to live downstairs. Okay, we'll stop here for today. I still think we could do it. So on Sunday, we'll pick up from here. Okay, you won't have to learn the daf on Shabbat. We'll start on Sunday here. Since we basically have two more dapim to finish the parak, we'll do them on Sunday and on Monday.